1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope.
Now here Paul is saying, he is an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior. Sometimes when you read, seems like he's talking about here, God the Father. But when you say, commandment of God, our Savior is Jesus Christ. So now he is saying Jesus is God. And that God called me. Because before that he was not believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God or God. Because he was persecuting the children of God. But now he is saying, I got the commandment from Jesus Christ. He is our God and he is our Savior. And then he said, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not only Savior, but he is also Lord. There are so many people just believe Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they don't want Jesus Christ their Lord. What does it mean? When you make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, that means you are going to listen to him, obey him, and practice whatever he says. That's why he says Jesus Christ, who is Lord. And not only that, he says, when you have Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord and your God, then what you're going to do, you're going to obey him. And he says, which is our hope. Without Jesus, there is no hope. The people in this world today, they are hopeless. They have no peace. They have no joy. Working hard day and night. No rest. Those people have no hope. And we were also without hope when we didn't know Christ. But thank God that we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now we have hope. What is hope? Jesus Christ is coming back. He's going to take us to home, where is our eternal home. And that is our hope. This world is not good for us. People only like this world when they have money, enjoyment. And that's why they say, oh, this is good. This is good world. This is good thing. But all of these things one day will pass away. The people who are young today, tomorrow they are going to be old. Today you are running here and running there. Tomorrow you won't be able to run anywhere. You'll be sitting on your chair or just lying down. You want to eat so many things today, the day will come you will not have teeth. Point I'm making, in this world, there is no hope without God. But St. Paul is saying, my hope is in Jesus Christ. Verse 2.
Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord.
Now here he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, my own son. And somebody says, Paul was not married. How did he get the son? But he's clarifying, this son is in faith in Jesus Christ. This Timothy was a young man. His mother was godly mother. Grandmother was a godly grandmother. And they raised him in the fear of God. And we don't know much, but from this we know that St. Paul somehow gave him the message of salvation and message of faith in Jesus Christ. And this young man received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Then when you go and tell somebody about Jesus Christ, and if that person receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, do you know? You are that person's spiritual father or spiritual mother. So you have to see Paul proudly saying, Timothy is my son in the Lord. How many children you brought into this world? Just think, I am born again since this many years. How many children I got, spiritual children, that you have to think. If you are born again, child of God, your duty to produce spiritual children. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Christianity is not for you alone. We have to pass it on to other people. So he is proudly saying, Timothy is my own son, and he is my son in faith. And then he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord. Then he says, the grace, mercy, and peace comes from God. Many people do not want son. They want father alone. Jewish people talk about not father, God alone. Muslim people talk about God and they don't know who God is. They change you and they are God. God of Abraham and God of Ishmael, they are not worshiping today. They are worshiping different God. The point I'm making, father and son together got the grace and mercy and peace into this world. Without God, there is no son. Without son, there is no father. Father, son works together. And so father and son together made a plan to save mankind. God says, I love the world and that I want to give my son. Son says, okay, dad, I'm going and giving my life freely. Nobody's forcing me. I want to go and redeem the mankind. That's why Jesus Christ came to this world, not forcefully, willingly, died on the cross of Calvary. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, now the man has fellowship with God. And Jesus Christ broken down the middle wall of partition, and now we can say God, our Father. And so this is the plan of God. St. John chapter 1 verse 17, he says, law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here he's saying the plan of God, the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, in the beginning, when he says God our Savior, he was talking about Jesus. Now he says God our Father, he is talking about Heavenly Father. So he wants let the people know, Jewish people or any person, there is a Father and there is a Son, and that Son is a Savior, and that Son also God. And that Son and that Father got the peace, mercy, and love to mankind. Okay, verse 3.
As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine.
Now St. Paul is telling Timothy, he's saying, you know, when I was going to Macedonia, I told you to stay in Ephesus. And the same time, when you are in Ephesus, watch out, there are people who are not teaching the right doctrine. Now, can you imagine, this is coming for 2,000 years ago. People always bring heresy or some kind of evil teaching in the church. So he said, I warn you and I'm telling you, please take in charge and tell other people with a boldness, a holy boldness, tell them you are teaching wrong doctrine and that doctrine is not valid. And now, if you remember, when St. Paul was writing to Galatians, we already studied, but you can go back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, he says,
but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Now here he's saying, not only we, but any angels from heaven comes and preach another gospel. Now do you know, when the people start a different kind of teaching, which is not based on the Bible, they will say, angel told me. Or angel appeared to me. Or angel told me to do this. Plainly he says, if it is not based on the Christ teaching, if it is not what Jesus Christ said or Paul or Peter said, that is not the true teaching. We change our mind, or the angel comes and preaches to you, that person should be cursed. Verse 9.
As before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Again he says, I want to tell you twice. If someone preach another gospel, which is not the gospel of Christ, that person should be cursed. So Timothy, he's saying, I told you when I was going to Macedonia, and I warn you, say, there are some people in that Ephesus or in that place teaching the wrong doctrine. So please beware of it and take care of it. Verse 4, 1 Timothy 1:4.
Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith.
Now here he's saying there are people, even the churches, when they start preaching, they will start telling stories and fables and some of the things to make people happy and laugh and giggle, but they are not preaching the true doctrine. The people, if they don't get the true doctrine, they are not going to stand firm on Christianity. And some of the people, if you go to some churches and say, what doctrine your church preaches? What doctrine? They don't know what the doctrine means. And doctrine is simply teaching of Jesus Christ and apostles and prophets. And many people do not know. When they are very educated or movie stars, they start saying, do you know who I am? I was in my previous year, I was a pharaoh or I was somebody. And they will saying, I came from this generation. I belong to royal family and things like that. You heard about that? Why are they doing this? They want to impress somebody who I am. I come in a royal family. And they try to impress somebody. And some of the people, you can give some money, they can find out. Just give them money. Could you find out my genealogy? Even though you are not born here, you just say, I want to give you some money, and they find out. They will find out you in some royal blood. And they want to make you feel good. I'll tell you, do you want your name to be in the star? We can put your name in the star. You can make you a star. All of these things is useless, doesn't increase your faith, but these things are useless, taking you away from God instead of thinking about God. Okay, verse 5.
Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned.
Now see, now the end of the commandments is love. Now somebody said the end of the commandment means what? The commandments are finished, done with. Somebody says we are fighting for 10 commandments and you saying the commandments are done. Now you will be learning the commandments were not given for the holy people. Now here is saying the commandments ends where the love starts. When you have love in your heart, and what kind of charity means love? Out of pure heart and a good conscience and faith undefined. Means you have sound faith in God, you have good conscience, your heart is pure and good, and that kind of love will not harm anyone. You have good conscience towards other people, you have good heart, you love other people, you are not going to harm somebody. So, when you are loving your neighbor, you are loving your friend, you are loving your wife, you are loving your husband, you are loving your children, you are loving your neighbor, are you going to do any harm to them? No. If you don't do any harm, there won't be any crime. If there is no crime, there won't be any jail. And there won't be any problems in this world. Then why these problems are happening? Because we do not have love. Jesus Christ said, all these 10 commandments, I'm going to sum it in two. Go to the Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40.
Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Now see, he says if you obey these two commandments, then all the law and prophets stands on this. This is the foundation for all other things. And then finally, St. Paul is saying, the end of the commandment is what? Love. He's saying the first and second, both commandments joined together, is love. Loving God and loving your neighbors is all one. So he says, now you love one another and love your neighbors. Jesus Christ even said, do not hate your enemy, love your enemy. And so he said, I'm giving you new commandment. Go to the St. John chapter 13, verse 34.
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another.
See, he says, new commandment. Before that he says, you know, I give you two commandments. They are the foundation commandment. Now he said, I'm going to give you one new commandment. Simple is, love one another. The same thing Paul is taking and saying here, the end of commandment is love, charity, pure heart, and good conscience, and good faith in God. That's what the commandment is all about. Once you love the Lord, you're going to love your neighbors, you'll love your friends. If you hate God, then you can hate anybody. The Word of God says, if you don't see God, and you say, God, God, and then you see your brother, and you hate your brother, how can you love God, which you don't see it? So the love comes through Jesus Christ. That's what we learn. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see his love in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says to his disciples, you didn't love me, I loved you first. Where did we find the love? We found the love in Christ. And if you read in this 13th chapter, we don't have the time. If you read the whole chapter, Jesus Christ showed them how to love one another. And now I'm giving this commandment, love one another. I loved you the same way I gave you pattern of love. Do the same to your brothers and sisters. That's what he's saying. The end of the commandment is what? Love. If you don't have love, in those days, people can do the commandments without a law. So what? They do sacrifice and their sins will be covered. We are not doing like this. Once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we ask forgiveness, our sins are forgiven and what? Forgotten. No record of our sins. So we live clean and holy life. Some people say, I cannot live clean and holy life. Why? Because you did not invite Jesus Christ into your heart. You said, oh, I did. No, you didn't. You said, oh, yes, I did. I said, oh, you didn't. How? If you did, then your life will change. Isn't it? It says 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, what it says. If any man, any woman in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. All things means what? All. Not a single thing left behind. So that is the Christian life. That's why some other religious people, other religions, they are looking at Christian and saying, oh, this Christianity is horrible. We don't want to be Christians. We are better than them. Hindu people, you go to India, what are you going to preach to them? You tell them about anything, they say, hey, you eat meat and this and that, you kill animals. We don't kill any animals. We don't eat anything bad. We are good people. I tell them, sir, your good things, all righteousness is filthy rag in the sight of God. Why? Because when you are sinners, your good deeds are sinful. God wants your heart to be changed. And how it happens? Once I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, Jesus comes in my life and then I became like Christ. That's why Christian is all about followers of Christ. And that's why once we have love of God in us, then we are going to show love to other people. And otherwise, we are phony Christians. And there are so many phony Christians, they take the name of Christianity and they spoil the name of Christianity. We have to let the people know, once you belong to Jesus Christ, you are going to love one another, you are going to give your life for Christ. That is the Christianity. That's what he says, end of the commandment is here. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6.
From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling.
Now we'll say, from which some are completely ran away or turned away aside from what? Vain jangling or vain talking or some kind of people joke around without a meaning. Sometimes they say something, I say, why are you doing? I was just joking. Joking is vain talking, meaningless. Hurting people, doing something wrong, and when you say something, oh, I was just kidding. I was just joking. Kidding and joking is just vain juggling. Means useless talking, meaningless talking. And so he's saying, instead of staying in faith, they are doing something else. If you are in faith, you talk about God. You talk about spiritual matter. You are not going to talk about something else. If I see anybody on the street or anywhere, if I say, hi, sir, good morning, how are you? And somebody say, oh, good weather and this and that, isn't it God good? And start talking about God. He sent his son to die for us. Anyway, anytime I get a chance, I will bring them to faith in God or talk about Jesus Christ. But these people are not talking about God. This is vain jangling or vain talking or vain gossiping things, which is no faith. Okay. Verse 7.
Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm.
Now he's saying there are people thinking they know the Bible, thinking they know the law, thinking they know the commandments, but they are not teaching those commandments. And they are not observing those commandments. And when we talk there something, they cannot even give the proof what they said. That's why I tell people, if somebody comes to you and start telling about the Bible and say, this is what the Bible says, then you say, where it says? Could you give me the proof? Because without proof, you cannot take somebody's word. Now, many people and preachers are preaching without telling the Bible scripture. They can say somebody saying, and somebody says maybe it is in the Bible. There are so many things people are saying which is not based on the Bible. And then they make the theory on those things. He says people are teaching the law. He's talking about Jewish people or Jewish Christian, telling, hey, this Christianity based on the Jewish Christian, Jewish heritage. So what do? We have to observe the Jewish law. And when they say, okay, tell me about Jewish law, they would not know. Sometimes people say about the Sabbath. There are Sabbath denominations. And I met one person. He is 38 years in Sabbath. And he is observing Sabbath. I said to him, what is the Sabbath? Could you tell me what the Sabbath is all about? And how you observe the Sabbath, exactly the Bible said? No, then you are disobeying Sabbath in the first time. You do not know what you're doing, and you're telling somebody to do what you're doing, and you don't know the meaning of it. So this is what they're saying. You're teaching somebody to do something, but you cannot give proof. You cannot establish what you know. St. Paul is saying they are teaching something which they don't even know. I heard the other day, some people are teaching math in the schools, and when the children give the wrong answer, they're giving them a good marks or giving them some kind of credit. I thought, what these people are doing? And then it came to my mind, maybe that teacher didn't know the answer. He thought the same answer also give the mark. It happened to me one time. I was in my high school, and I came there for the new student, and I missed 6 months of their class. And 6 months later, my name was given. And the principal said, you know, to my dad, you're keeping your son. Our 6 months is already passed. And if you keep your son here, he will fail. My dad says, my son is not going to fail. He's a very smart student. So they said, okay, we'll keep. Otherwise, there was a rule. You cannot take anybody after 6 months has passed. So they took me there. It's a long story. They took me there, but they gave me a hard job. The fee was only $4. For the $4, I have to water the whole garden of the school. And I have to go and close all the windows of the high school. Thousands of doors that are going up and down. There are 3-4 stories. And all these things, and taking 2 buckets, and there is no hose. I have to take bucket by bucket and doing the water just for the $4 per month. And I had very little time to study. When I come home, I was living with somebody. They will tell me to do the job, go 22 miles to bring some fruits and vegetable and things like that. So I had very little time. But thank God I was a good student. And when our final exam came, and there was a mathematic questions, so the teacher gave me 80 marks and 2 wrongs. I didn't say anything. I took my paper and tried to do those problems again. The answer comes the same. So I said, wait, did I make a mistake? Teacher, could you show me these 2 problems on the blackboard? Show me where I made a mistake. And the man did the mathematics in those problems, exactly my answers. So I took the paper and said, sir, here. Your answer and my answer is the same. Why did you give me wrong? Both questions are right, exactly yours. Then you know what he said? Hey, other guy, show me your paper. And he saw his paper. They were 2 wrong. He gave him 2 right. Why? What he did, he was number one student, so he just guessed it. Everything he does is right. I am coming from somewhere 6 months later, so I might be wrong. So he gave me 2 wrong, and he gave him 2 right. So point I was saying, even though it was wrong, he gave him a credit for 2 wrongs. That's what the today's teachers are doing. They don't know the math. Somebody does the wrong, they give them the credit. So this is what the Word of God is saying. They don't know what they're teaching. They don't have any proof. So they are bringing some kind of heresy teaching in the church and do not know how to give them the proof. So in short, what he's trying to say? Stay away from that kind of doctrine. Go back to the 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8.
But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully.
Okay, now he's trying to say they are bringing the law in the church. He says law is not bad if you do correctly. Law is good if you obey the law. But he's trying to say, all of these laws, people were not obeying and they were breaking the law. So what happened? Jesus Christ came, died on the cross of Calvary and say, it is finished. So all the laws are done away in Christ. Now what he has given us, he has given us his love in our heart. So when we have love of God, you know how to go and look all the laws in the book. Because when you have love for Christ, then you are not going to break the law. That's what he's trying to say. Now he says the law is not given for the good people. And when you say like that, then people say, wow. So law is for whom? Let's read where his law is given for. Read verse 9.
Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine.
But he says it is contrary to the sound doctrine. If that kind of teaching somebody brings, any sinner will break the law of God. So the law of God is given for bad people, sinners, wrongdoers. Good people do not break the law. If you are a good citizen and you're going in a highway and the limit says 55 or 65, you don't go 70. There are people, mayors, governors, and dignifying people who give the law, they break the law. So what I'm trying to say, the people who break the law, they are not believers. Unbelievers break the law. If I'm a Christian and I'm looking for speed limit 30, I slow down. Somebody say, hey, go a little faster. People do horn. I said, go, pass by. I'm going to obey the law. And when you obey the law, God will bless you. Somebody says, but I'm late to work. You go faster, you might be never make it to work. So you have to do the way God tells you to do. All the laws are made for unsaved, unbelievers, and wrongdoers. But we are believers. We are going to prove it to people. We don't break the law. So we are not sinners. We should not be breaking the law. 1 Timothy 1:11.
According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust.
Now St. Paul is saying, the gospel is glorious. He says, God saw me trustworthy. Can I give him this glorious gospel? What is he going to do with it? Is he going to preach? Is he going to teach the way I give it to him? Or is he going to twist the gospel? He said, God trusted me and he has given me this gospel. So he said, I am preaching it the way it came to me. Verse 12.
And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry.
Again he says, I am so thankful to God. So he is trying to say, I was not even worthy to do this. But he saw my heart and he gave it to me. You can read a little bit further. He's telling how he was. But God saw him. This man is trustworthy. This man is faithful. This man is going to do what I told him to do. And that's what it is. That's why when we have to find if the people are ordained for the ministry, are they qualified? And so the Word of God says, once God has chosen you, are you worthy to do that job? Are you going to follow that word? St. Paul is saying God chosen him and gave him the big responsibility. God did not make him the deacon. God made him a preacher. And overnight, he started preaching the word of God. But he's saying God saw me and give this ministry in my hand. Verse 13.
Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
So he's saying, I was a bad person doing blasphemy and doing everything wrong, persecuting the church, injuring them and putting them in jail and killing them. And I was a murderer. I was a bad person. I was not a good man. But what he's trying to say? But he did everything. He was ignorant at that time. He didn't know the truth at that time. He thought, I'm doing right thing. And this Christianity is some kind of wrong thing. The Jesus Christ thing is a wrong thing. But when Jesus appeared to him, do you know what he says? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, I am the one, Jesus of Nazareth. You're persecuting. He was not persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting the Christians. But he says, when you're persecuting Christians, you are persecuting me. Persecuting my believers, you are persecuting me. Do you think any father will allow somebody to beat up his child and father stand there doing nothing? So he says, St. Paul says, I was a bad person doing wrong thing. blasphemy, persecution, injuring people, and did not have mercy on anybody, but I was doing this all. I was ignorant. I didn't know the truth. But God has chosen me. Verse 14.
And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus.
So he is trying to say, God's grace, he said, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So he says, I saw everything in Christ. I saw love of God. I saw faith and everything, what? Not ordinarily way, but exceedingly and abundantly. God is full of love. Jesus Christ is full of love. Everything what God is, I saw in Christ. That's what he's trying to say. He said, I'm not following Christ blindly. I came to know who Christ is. I'm not beating on the air. I'm not following anything without knowing. He wanted to find out who Christ is. And once he found out, he said, now I know who Christ is, and I'm going to follow him. Now some people became a Christian, and they asked, why are you following Christ? Why you are Christian? I don't know, maybe my mother was Christian, my father was Christian, I go to church, that's why I'm Christian. You have to know why you're following Christ. Then you have to tell people why I'm following. Then you say what Jesus Christ did to you, how he changed your life, how you're going astray. Just like St. Paul is saying, I was a murderer, I was a killer, I was a destroyer, but he changed my life. That's a testimony. If you, there is no change in your life, then who is going to follow Christ? So he says, I found out who Jesus Christ is, and I found out everything in Christ abundantly. Verse 15.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Now he said this is faithful saying. What is faithful saying? He says if there is anything in this world you can desire for or good things, nothing else but following Jesus Christ. Whole world can you put one side and Jesus one side. Jesus is greater than the whole world. He says you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. What's the profit? Nothing. So the Jesus Christ is the best thing ever happened to you. Now somebody says, you know, when you get saved, that's the greatest thing you ever done it. Because salvation is the best thing can happen to you. You got $1 million is nothing comparing to your born again. Born again experience is worth than the whole world. Whole world you keep one side. And Christ and heaven one side. Christ and his love is greater than anything else. He says, I found out. Christ came into this world to save the whole world and save the whole sinners. But I start thinking, I am the greatest sinner. I am the cheap one. When he came to save mankind, I was not even worthy. I was a bad person. He says, I was the cheap sinner. But he saved me. Some people said, I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. That person will never get saved. If that person says, I'm good, I don't need Christ because I'm better than anybody else and I don't need Jesus, that person will never get saved. To make that person saved, do you know what you have to do? Let that person know that he's a sinner. If that person doesn't confess he's a sinner, then he cannot get saved. Jesus Christ says, I did not come for the righteous people. He said, I came for sinners. That's why those righteous Sadducees and Pharisees did not get saved. They didn't want any part of Christ. They self-righteous. They said, we are better. We are better than Christ. We don't need his teaching. But the people who received Jesus Christ, who? Sinners. And he says, the day will come. You will see all these sinners will go ahead of you in heaven. And you will be cast out to hell. who he was talking to. The Sadducees and Pharisees and teachers of the law. He says, I want people to say, I'm a sinner. He says, people like that, they go to the prayer and somebody says, oh Lord, I'm not like that heathen man or that outcast man. I'm a good person. I give my tithe. I go to church. I do this. I do that. And the one person says, oh Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Could you please change my heart? He says, that's the person goes to heaven. So in short, what he's trying to say, we have to realize if you don't commit your life to Jesus as a sinner, you will never get saved. You have to say, Lord, please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Come into my life and change my life. That's the real Christianity. If a person doesn't do that, that person can go to church for a billion years. Nothing will happen. Oh, I'm a good person. God loves me and I love God. Nothing will happen. You have to start from coming to my heart, forgive my sins, and I want to change of heart and I want to live for you. St. Paul says, I did that. I admitted that I'm the cheapest sinner in the whole wide world. And Jesus Christ came. That's the greatest thing ever happened to mankind. And I received him as my Lord and Savior. That's the testimony. Okay, let's read further. Verse 16.
Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting.
Now what St. Paul is saying, I'm so thankful to God that Jesus Christ came into my life. He showed me mercy and love, and now I belong to him. And I'm suffering all kinds of problem coming to me, and I'm facing all these problems with a long suffering. Why this happening to me? He said, now I got the idea why this happened. I might be a model. I might be a pattern to somebody to follow me. Otherwise, people will say, I don't understand why we have to suffer. Say, look at the St. Paul. Look at Peter. They suffer for the Christ's sake. So we have a pattern. We have an example. That's why St. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So he said, God called me and I'm suffering all of these things. This is a pattern that somebody comes after me, they can follow Christ. They can get my example. What kind of example we are giving to other people? Can we tell somebody, follow Christ as I follow Christ? And somebody says, okay, I follow Christ as you follow. And go a little bit further and he said, oh, let me see, this is a store. I'm taking a cigarette pack. I thought you're a Christian. I was following you. You're taking me to the bar. You're taking me to the cigarette place. What kind of Christianity is this? We have to think, if St. Paul says, I'm a pattern, God has called me, you can follow me, I'm following Christ. I'm a good example. I will not cheat you. I will not take you to the wrong places. Follow me. That's why we have to tell people. Why don't you come and see what God is doing in my life? St. Paul saying, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm suffering. I'm giving a good example. So hereafter, anybody follows me, they should follow Christ like I am following. Okay, verse 17. We're finishing soon.
Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
He says, unto the King eternal. Who is King he's talking about? Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He says, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So what he's trying to say? My God, my King is Jesus, a God. He is eternal. He is invisible. Now you don't, he said, where is Jesus? I don't see him. He is not here, but he is in the spirit. You cannot see him with your eyes, but he is invisible today. But you can see him by faith. Jesus Christ says, our God is a spirit. No one can see him. St. John chapter 4, verse 24, he says, God is spirit, and whoever wants to worship him, that person should worship him with the spirit and truth. So God is eternal. He is invisible. He is not living in mortal body. That's why Jesus Christ says God is spirit. Our Father lives in a spirit form. Jesus is the only one who took the form of man. The Holy Spirit is God. That also eternal. But Holy Spirit doesn't have a body. Our God the Father is eternal. He never took the form of man. Some people say God died for me. And they're thinking God the Father died. No, God the Son died for you. Not the God the Father. And so he says, I recognize who Jesus Christ is. He is the King. He is eternal. He is invisible. And he is the wise God. Jesus Christ is the only one can save mankind. There is nothing you can find out that Jesus Christ did bad. Jesus said, how many of you point out that I am a sinner? Point anything like I did sinful. Nobody was able to say you did this or you did that. Jesus Christ is the Holy God. And Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the God we should be preaching. Nobody else. Verse 18.
This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare.
What I think about Christ, what I think about Christ's teaching, and I gave it to you, and I had prophesied, means not only him, but some other people prophesied about Timothy when they were setting him apart for the ministry. And sometimes when you lay hand and some people prophesy, some people say good encouragement. So some people say you are going to be good warrior. You are going to be good minister. You are not going to fall apart. You are going to have God's wisdom, God's power. And you are going to be a good minister. And that's what you heard somebody prophesied about you. What he's trying to say indirectly. Timothy, be strong. Don't move what you have. Be strong believers, because there are some who are believers and backslidden. Be watchful. Read the verse 19.
Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck.
Okay, so he's saying, you are a faithful believer. You are a faithful man of God. The prophecy went forth about you that you are going to have warfare with this unsaved or un-Christian people. Two people, verse 20.
Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme.
Now, the Hymenaeus and Alexander, they were might be believers. Now, they became backslidden. And so, he is trying to say, their backslidden experience like a shipwreck. That means when the ship in the deep ocean goes on, go on the rock or something, or iceberg, and fall apart to pieces. That ship, you cannot put it together. Their faith is broken into pieces. And they are great men, but now their faith is broken. And so it's like a shipwreck to their faith. So he said, I could not bring them back to the Lord. So what I did, gave it to the Satan. Somebody says, why are you giving to the Satan? You remember last week, we learned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if somebody is not living a good Christian life, withdraw yourself. Stay away from them. Now, this is not that kind of person. These people are worse than that. They are not only having no faith, backslidden, but trying to destroy others and making other people backslidden and following them. So he said, finally, I gave them to the Satan. And so point he's making, say, Timothy, be strong. Don't be like them. That example, how people, when they lose the faith, they can destroy the church. They can destroy the ministry. Stay away from the backslidden people. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord Jesus, you have called us with a definite calling and no turning back. We are not going to look left or look right. We are going to looking unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Give us grace to learn the sound doctrine of Christ and to teach the sound doctrine of Christ to many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.